What is your motivation?
It is a posture of fear. We want to protect ourselves from changing.
Do we see the other churches in the area as brothers and sisters in Christ?
So let's talk about healthy motivations.
It's being a part of that whole big redemptive story.
I want to plant a church for the people that don't know Jesus. Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter, a podcast exploring the theology, philosophy, and practice of planting new Lutheran congregations. My name is Andy Coyle, church planner and director of home missions for the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, joined by my co-host, Matthew Ballman, church planner down in San Antonio, Texas. This is episode 2. Last week, we set the foundation for this whole season, the blueprints of starting a congregation, and just talked about the importance of a process of planning of foundations. It matters, right? To slow down and just set healthy foundations across the board as we relate to church planting, because we want to have a healthy, long-lasting congregation. Today, we're going to start that first sort of phase of exploration. Exploration process, and this can take a long time. There's a lot of components to this, but we want to start today talking about motivation. What's your motivation? Motivation matters. Motivation matters in anything in life, right? We all know what good motivation looks like and bad motivation looks like. We see that with our kids sometimes when we ask them to do things. Our motivations affect what we do and how we do it. Of course, that's going to come into play here as we talk about church planting. Our motives matter. What we do in ministry and why we do it, it matters. We have to be aware of it. But at the outset here, before we really dive into this, it's important for us to say how this is not just like a quick checklist. It's not just a black and white issue. It's not something that you deal with right away and then you move on and you never think about it again. Motivation is something that you will always wrestle with all throughout your life and ministry. And so we want to dive into it. We want to talk about good motivations, wrong motivations, ways to discern motivations, but recognize that this is a lifelong battle that we have because we have a sin nature, right? And so hear our heart on that as we get into this. It is an important place to start at because this affects everything we do going forward, but recognize that it is always something that we need the Spirit of God to uncover in us. And so motivations matter, specifically the question about church planting. Here's the question. Why do you want to plant a church? Or specifically, why do you want to plant a Free Lutheran church? What is driving that desire? You got to wrestle with it. You got to spend time answering the why. Matt, take us into some Bible verses that get into the issue of motivation.
Yeah, the first one, I think, is Proverbs 21:2, which says that the man, all his ways are right in his own eyes, but God weighs the heart, right? It's this idea that we are so good at self-justifying. We are so good at self kind of dictating what is right and wrong. And yet God is looking at our heart. So, Proverbs also talks about we are to trust the Lord in all things rather than lean on our own understanding, to trust him, commit our ways unto him. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing there is, are we trusting our own intuitions or are we trusting God's direction and God's guidance, right? That examination of the heart. But I'm also thinking Paul encourages, he says, when talking to Christians about their giving, when they're thinking about giving, thinking about serving other Christians, he says that God loves a cheerful giver. That is what God delights in. Not someone who gives begrudgingly, right? And this is a motivation issue. Paul wasn't saying how much they were giving. He's saying that's not the thing that we're talking about right now. But rather, don't give begrudgingly, give cheerfully and joyfully. So I think all these are getting at and striking at the importance of our motivation. That motivation does matter to God. And there can be this tension at times. Sometimes, we might ask the question of, well, if I don't want to do it, should I still do it? Well, if it's the right thing to do, there is sometimes, you just do it, right? You want to drive faster than the speed limit. Right. The right thing to do is drive the speed limit, right? So there's sometimes where you just do it, right? But how much better is it whenever we have right motives in that? And it's interesting. This is kind of an interesting kind of historical point for our listeners. There's actually in Lutheranism, kind of a different Lutheran maybe emphases, if you will, where some Lutherans, and this is our stream of the Pietistic stream, tend to want to say, turn internal and say, I need to have the right motivation in all things. Where other Lutheran traditions are going to say, no, just do the right thing. When the reality is we need both those. God wants us to do the right thing, right action, right behavior, but he also wants correct our heart to be pure as well. And Jesus talking to the Pharisees, right? He talked about, man, you are whitewashed tombs. Like, you're doing the right thing. You look good on the outside, but your heart, right, is wicked. And we're reminded of that. Our heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, right? So we can't trust ourselves in that, but we need to recognize, Lord, we want to offer ourselves, and we want to recognize that we will never have 100% pure motives, but we recognize that this is important. So we want to ask the question of, Lord, help us have pure motives in going into this. And if we don't have pure motives going into it, either one, change it, or two, maybe we're not being called to that. So I think those are some of the biblical building blocks as we start thinking about motive. Are there any additional ones that you would maybe come to mind?
Well, I guess I'm thinking about the big picture here thing. Because, you know, as you talked about, sometimes you just do the right thing. And you can relate that to any aspect during the day. And it's like, oh, I don't feel like doing this, but I need to do it. What we're talking about is big picture, because we're talking about planting a congregation, right? This huge, massive, beautiful gift of God, right? So it's not just this small little decision today that you just do, but that the reality is, if you don't have the right motivation, you're not going to last, because this is not just a short thing. This is not an iterative type of thing. This is a long-term type of a commitment. And so your motivations really do matter, because if you have a fickle motivation or a wrong motivation, you're probably going to burn out. There's a book that we encourage our listeners or people in church planning to read. It's just called Multiplying Churches. It's just a nice introduction to the topic. There's a really good quote here on this issue, and I think it hits home well. It says, what are your motives? This is on page 89. What is it that drives us? What is the anchor for the church planter and his team? It's the gospel. For all other motivations will fail you. The difficulty of the work, the sinfulness of your own heart, the desire to be applauded, and the longing to be seen as the success are all powerful forces. They will chisel away at us. We may start finding our worth by how many people show up on Sunday. We may begin to expect the type of entitlement that God considers offensive rather than the humility that understands that we are all servants. The key question you need to process in your own heart is this: what are your motives? Whether you are investigating church planting, already moving towards church planting, or an existing church that wants to get into planting, you need to ask what is really driving this desire. Mm-hmm. We need to wrestle when we see things that are inconsistent with the gospel motivation, confess them, and repent of them. And I think he gets to the heart of, this is a long-term thing. There's ups and downs. It's hard, challenging. And if your motivations are not healthy, you're going to burn out. You're going to get wounded. You're going to wound others. Okay. So motives matter. So let's drive down on this a little bit, and let's start talking about unhealthy motivations, and then we'll deal with some good motivations. So what are some unhealthy motivations? What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, I think before I jump in there, one comment that stood out to me on that is the importance of, you know, again, we're talking to a diverse group here, like a pastor, group of lay people. There's all types of but really part of here is, this is whoever's leading this kind of discernment process. These are questions, you know, what we're talking about here is that you can be leading your whole group in, like you personally, but as a group, your whole group should be asking this question. So here's one, I think the first, we came up with four, there's a lot more we could add here, but four kind of big unhealthy motivations that we can easily fall into. And the first one is running from something. This could be we're running because we've been hurt, or running because we are angry. Either one of those, right? It could be a pastor who says, I feel underappreciated. My congregation just doesn't want to do ministry. My council is, you know, not working with me. And they're hurt. They feel not taken care of. So they want to go to something, and the grass always looks greener. So they run to church planting, right? And I've talked to pastors, and that's been their experience. Or it's out of anger, right? A lot of church splits, and God uses those. He can use those redemptively. But those are often out of anger and out of hurt. And again, a group of people want to leave, and they want to go over here, and, you know, they're going to do something out of spite of that other church. And they're going to take part of the resources and the people out of anger. And both those are just not, those are not good motivations. Running from something. We always want to run towards something. We're running towards Jesus and seeing people connected to the gospel, not away from a problem. So that's the first big bad motivation that we can often fall into. What's another one?
Yeah, I would say a big one too is glory. We want the temptation. Maybe this is more for a planter, but I think also for a church too. We want to do something big for God. We want others to pat us on the back. We want We want glory. We want people to see us as a success. And we have maybe this Messiah complex that we are supremely gifted. We are so good. We are so important. And we want to build something around us. We want to build our kingdom, right? And that is such a deep temptation that anybody, I think, in ministry faces. But it's especially bad for church planters because you literally are creating something new. And so the temptation is to have this motivation of glory. I want people to see that I am a success. I want people to see how gifted I am. I want people to see just the value of me that I bring into the kingdom of God. And there's so many ways that we can do this. And what's so hard about this too is that, I mean, the whole church planting world just sort of screams this. You go to conferences and people that are platformed are the ones that, you know, grew a church to 1,000 in a month, kind of, for example, or you've got the book deals, you got all these things. Church planting has become a trendy thing in the last 20 years. It's become this exciting thing. And like, as you said earlier, people that might have burned out in other ministries or other things, they see an opportunity. Hey, I can do this and I can get people to see it. That, no, I am a success and I want to build this thing around me. And unfortunately, that has happened. And there has been a lot of big churches built around that motivation. And that's a really sad motivation because it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, right?
Yeah.
It's all about building our kingdom. And so maybe a question to ask is if you fail, are you okay about it? Are you okay with it? You know, who what is this about? Why are you doing this? Are you doing this for the Lord? Are you doing this for 20 people? Are you okay if your church only ever gets to be 50 people? And yet it's healthy, surrounded on, it's centered on the word of God. Are you okay if no one ever talks about you? Are you okay if no one is patting on your back? Yeah. And I think if you say no to those things and you sort of set these expectations, no, it's got to be this, this, and this, and this, it might be a deep-seated, unhealthy motivation.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that issue? It's a big one.
No, it is a really big one. And it is one that constantly anybody in ministry has to be asking, who am I doing this for? Am I doing it for me? Yeah. Am I doing it for me? Am I doing it for God? Am I doing it for the people in the church, for those outside? Like, who am I doing this for? So I think that's such a good question. To be asking in that just constantly. So the first question there is like running from something. Are we running from something and wanting to do this, right? Out of anger or hurt. Two, who are we doing this for, right? Are we doing it for self? But there's a third one that really connects to this as well, to the self, kind of the self-glory and self-aggrandizement, but maybe a little bit more of a corporate mindset. And that is pride, doing it out of pride. Maybe sometimes we use the language of a tribalism, like this mindset that we are the only one true church and that no other, there's no other, you know, maybe we don't say there's no other Christians, but you know, they're all kind of like tier, you know, second tier Christians. We're the real Christians. We're the great Christians, right? And this can happen in denominations when you get denominationalism.
Absolutely.
So this is something we have to be on guard for because especially when you're looking at a city and saying, well, we should ask the question, are there other Word and Sacrament gospel-centered churches here, right? That's a really key question. And I think part of this is to recognize, yes, there are going to be different expressions of Christianity. So we're not saying like, oh, if there's one church in a city, we shouldn't plant a church there, right? Because we recognize, as we talked about early on in last season, that part of the value, the great missional benefit of church planting is that it's going to reach a different type of people, right? Every church is going to reach a different people. So there's value in that. But so much of this is getting it more at like the heart in which we're going into it. Do we see the other churches in the area as brothers and sisters in Christ? Even different denominations, right, that we might disagree with on things. Do we see them as brothers and sisters, as on the same team, trying to work towards the same end of connecting people to Jesus and his love and forgiveness? Or do we see them as competition? And it is so easy to slide into that, of that's the competition. Again, we can disagree and say like, hey, we don't agree with that theologically or practically speaking in their practice, but we can still see them as brothers and sisters in Christ. So I think that's part of, and very practically, you know, one of the things that is a really healthy practice is anytime an individual, whether it's, you know, we'll talk about models at some point, but you're moving into a city to plant a church or you're going to plant a church in the city you live in or that your church currently exists in, you're going to plant another church on the other side, is to connect to the churches in the neighborhood that you're trying to target, that you're planning on making a mission field, right? That you would talk to the pastors and senior ministry leaders in those communities and share with them what you're trying to do, not as competitors of let's sneak in there and steal their people, but as fellow brothers and sisters in arms in this battle that we're in. So that's like very practically a thing that can happen. But I think we should ask this question as we're thinking about, you know, again, why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? And do I have that a healthy ecumenical perspective with the other churches in the area? Anything you would add to that?
Yeah, it's just such a huge, huge issue, just our posture towards other believers and seeing, you know, this is the kingdom of God, right? Are we on, do we have a kingdom mentality? Do we want to see churches win? Like, that's the thing. Some language that some friends of mine use is like, we need them to win, referring to this other church plant or something, simply because they're reaching people for the gospel and we want that. We got to have that.
Amen.
And so the pride of, well, we do it the right way and we do it better than everybody else. That is so bad. And it just exudes from us and it goes into our congregation. It goes into maybe our denomination. Again, like you referenced, I mean, that can exist just within the Lutheran world, right? Let alone beyond that. And it is so unhealthy. And so we want to have a kingdom perspective where, yes, we acknowledge our differences and we acknowledge the history of those differences, and yet we can see past them and root for one another to help more people get saved and be discipled in Christ. So pride, absolutely. I think the last one here, again, as you said, there's others, but the fourth big one here is fear. Fear. So, sometimes in this issue of church planning, we want to create something that we are really comfortable with. We want to surround ourselves with people that think like us, look like us, act like us, talk like us. We set up our personal preferences around ourselves, and it is a posture of fear because we don't want anybody else. We want to protect ourselves from changing, for example. Now, there's some truth to that with theology, certainly, but I think this is a deeper heart issue. It's a deeper posture issue. Sometimes that I've seen within the AFLC, for example, and I think this is probably true of any church body, is you know, just the question, well, who's my audience? I want to plant a church to reach other AFLC people. Well, that's maybe not the right response, right? I mean, if that is the right response, you literally are only thinking about your little tribe, and there's a sense of fear, there's a sense of isolationism that is a part of that. And again, that is the air we breathe in our society right now. We are so isolated, we are so tribal, and we are so fear-based on everything. And this comes into the church planting world too, as opposed to, no, I want to plant a church, not for them. If they show up, awesome. But for the people that don't know Jesus, the people that are confused, that are lost, that are marginalized, all those different types of responses. And so I think fear can be a big motivation as well in planting churches that maybe we're not aware of, that also can create a lot of hardships. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's really good. And maybe, what would you say? So say, you know, people, we've identified these kind of four big categories. Say someone's asking these questions of themselves, right? And again, a group, you're sitting down, ask these questions like, hey, are we being motivated by this? Why are we being motivated? Get a whiteboard out with your small group, with your wife, right? With your counsel, and write, what is your motivation? Be willing to ask these hard questions. Yeah. What if a person, Andy, or group says, you know what, we think we are kind of being motivated by one of these. You know, we realize like this is actually a major driving force. What are they to do at that point?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this at the end of this episode of like how to discern this. And so I would say, again, it's not like it's a checklist. So for example, I mean, God might be calling me to plant a church and I might have a bunch of motives, but I still might have a bad motive in that. But that doesn't mean that maybe he's not inviting me into this mission. It just means that I got to deal with that specific motivation, right? I got to repent of that. I've got to die to that motivation and really be rooted more in the truth of God. And so I would say if as we discern this later on, but if you're recognizing, man, maybe some of my motivations are not right, well, that doesn't mean that he's not inviting you into something bigger or inviting you into mission, right? It just means that you got to deal with that. Just like all the sin in our lives.
Yeah.
And we talked about this early on, that this, our sinful heart is always going to be producing bad motivations. We're never going to have perfect motivations. So this should not surprise you. This whole conversation is kind of captain obvious. It should be this. You're going to have wrong motivations. The question is, do you understand them? Do you recognize them? And are you dealing with them? And are you taking them all the way back to the cross? So I think that's the key thing here. We'll get back to that in a few minutes here. But So a lot of unhealthy motivations. And I think you could probably add to some as you're just even thinking about your own ministry in life, right? So let's talk about healthy motivations, because we always want to be centered on the positive here. We want to be centered on the thing that God gives us. What are those? Give us a main one.
Yeah, well, one, let me just do kind of a plug for, we talked about why plant churches in season one. Mm-hmm. I think we did maybe a couple episodes kind of talking about, you know, the mission of God and ecclesiology. What is the church? Why does the church exist? So I'd say, hey, go check those out, because we talked about that. But in short, like a couple ones. One is recognizing at a very high level, this kind of 90,000 foot level, is this is what God is up to. Why plant churches? Yeah. Well, because churches is what God is up to. God is ushering in his kingdom on this globe we call Earth through the local congregation. That's what we believe in the AFLC. And that's what ultimately like every Christian believes. Like it's the local church. Yeah. This is the kingdom of God. Like this is where the frontline work is happening. Mm. God is seeking to redeem and make a holy people for himself. This is what he told Israel time and time and time again, right? Make a holy people for himself. The church is that, right? That God is going to restore what happened in the garden, what broke in the garden, what got fractured in the garden. He is going to restore. We see in Revelation 21 and 22, this beautiful picture, this promise that God will dwell with man and man will dwell with God. Okay, so why plant churches? It's being a part of that whole big redemptive story. That's like a number one massive reason to be a part of what God is doing, to be partners in kingdom ministry. So that's like number one thing, and a lot, you know, kind of details we could tease out from that. But that's the first big thing. I think a second really big thing is a more on a like personal level is this is how we love our neighbor. That the reason we engage in church planting, hopefully the healthy motivation is out of love for neighbor, that we would be able to connect them to the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, right? That's at the end of the day, that's why we do what we do. That is why we should do it. Not for the accolades, not for money, not for glory, not out of fear, but rather out of love. It's the love of Christ for us that compels us to love the people around us, right? So that is always the driving factor. And that is the coal that will not diminish. We always come back to this because God's love is undiminishing. It is forever. It is this everlasting love, this chesed love, this ever faithful love that he has for us. So if our missionary posture is being fed and fueled by his love, man, we have an unlimited source of fuel then for feeding the mission that we are going to engage in church planting. So, and then a third one, what would be a third one? I know we kind of came up with a couple here. What would be another maybe final one of motivations?
Yeah, I'm just kind of following your train of thought here. We've got this objective story of God, the objective mission, the gospel, right? That is centered in Jesus Christ. The cross, and we see his love for us that he has given to us, forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, recreation, all those things. And that then love changes how we see other people. And he has given us this mission to connect people into that objective story, the mission of God to change their lives. And he calls us simply to obey, right? The great commission, like go make disciples, baptize, teach. And so there's a sense that very deeply we are called on mission. We are called to obey. There's an obedience aspect here where we are to be aware of that this is truth. God has done this. This is his mission. This is his heart. We are loved personally. We are forgiven. We are made new in Christ. We have the hope of heaven. And now we are called to obey, to send that message out and live that out in our lives and our vocations, seeking to connect people to Christ, seeking to connect people to the gospel. And then to live within that body, that congregation, that holy people that you have just referenced, right? And so it's this very, very clear sort of process that we see in the scriptures and our part in that. And I think if our motives are rooted in that, despite maybe sometimes bad motives being, you know, creeping up in there that we have to confess and we need to repent of, the more we are rooted in the gospel, the mission of God, the plan of God, the love of Christ, and the recognition that we are called to then live that out in our lives and obey, that's gonna actually last. You know, we talked about fickle motivations. We talked about how ministry is hard, how church planting is really hard, and all these different types of things and our wrong motivations. We're gonna burn out. If we are rooted in that objective truth and the love of Christ, that's going to sustain us in the hardships. It's going to sustain us when nothing is going right. It's going to sustain us when we're just dealing with difficulties.
Yeah.
And so this is why, again, the foundation matters. We talked about that last week, right? The foundation matters. So let's wrap up here. Talking to you as a church planter, to a small group, to a congregation that's just praying through this, all of this in this exploration process. And you understand, man, my motives do matter. So let's get into some practicality here. How does a person, how do you as a group, how do you evaluate your motivations? Recognizing again that this is a process all throughout your life, but how do you then discern this in your life? Matt, we got four things here. What's the first one?
Yeah, the first one is, we have prayer here, but I would almost like make it even more broad as our life in Christ, right? This idea that, are we connected to the vine? Because we can do nothing apart from Jesus. We can do nothing. The branches can't bear any fruit unless they're connected to the vine. So the first one is really opening up ourselves to God. And this is why I'm talking about prayer. Like, just coming before God, into the presence of God, lifting our heart and our mind and saying, Lord, test us. Know if there be any, you know, wicked, unrighteous way in us, right? Yeah. Lord, show and expose those places where we have unhealthy motives. And this is a prayer, honestly, like we should be praying every single day. Like, no matter who you are as a Christian, what your vocational calling is, that is a really great place to be every single day. Lord, refine me, cleanse me, show me my motives. Lord, help me to be motivated out of love, out of thankfulness and gratitude for what you have done for me. So it's really this maybe opening ourselves up to the gaze of God and the work of God through his word, by his spirit in our life. Like, that's the starting place right there. But then doing that, and here's maybe a second one, is that posture before God, that prayer before God of asking him. But the second one is not just doing that alone. So step two, if the first is prayer, the second is doing it in community, is that we do that and we're living our Christian life, never in isolation, but always life together, right? With other believers in a local church. Cannot emphasize that enough. This is the model, both taught and modeled in the New Testament, that before anyone was sent out as a missionary, they were confirmed and affirmed by the local church. I'm right now preaching through the book of Acts, and this has just been really coming to mind and being, you know, because we see this, even like Paul, even after being called by Jesus himself, the resurrected Christ, he still waited until he was affirmed and called by first Barnabas and then by the local church, where they laid hands on him and sent him on a missionary journey. I mean, that's Paul, right? How much more so anyone to do that as well. So doing this in community of asking, and this is the beauty of churches planting churches, of district, you know, we talk about AFLC districts planting churches, is really being able to talk about this, of having groups in this very first phase of exploration to start, have this your very first meeting, open with prayer and say, why are we wanting to do this, right? And just have a time to discuss that and let everyone talk about it. Get a whiteboard out, start writing it down, and have a really honest conversation in community. If you're a pastor, right, you can be doing this with your wife. You can be doing, you should be doing this with your, you know, you're maybe like, man, I'm at a current congregation now, and I maybe feel like being called into this. Part of that is going to be talk to Andy as the director of church planning, but talk to those trusted advisors and mentors and spiritual fathers and mothers in your life, where they can be having that kind of that perspective around you, because we often don't see all about ourselves true. Yeah, so we need that outside perspective. So just really that, again, God, we need God's perspective, God's input, God's refining fire and work in our life. But we also need the faith community around us also speaking into us. What else would you add to that?
Well, I want to add to that. I just think, you know, you talked about the value of the body of Christ and surrounding people, yourself with people and not being isolated. And I just maybe think of all the giftings of why is this good? Because God has given the church all these different spiritual gifts, right? And so you have people that are surrounding you that just simply see things different. They might have different gifts. They might have more discernment. They might have more life experience, just all these things. You want them speaking into your life. You want them saying, man, there's some red flags here, or this isn't right, or whatever. Because you want all the gifts of grace operating in this decision. Mm. And so again, in isolation, you're going to be blind to things. All of us are blind to certain things. We have certain giftings that God has gifted us, but we need to surround ourselves with people that can just simply speak life into us based off of their spirit gifts as well. Mm. So again, something we talk about a lot in the congregation, it's super valuable. I would say the third way to maybe discern motives or to assess our motives is simply time. Time. Recognize that this takes time, not to rush. And this is so hard for us because we live in a society that just demands things fast. If we have to wait more than 5 minutes for a drive-through food, we get mad, right? Mm. And we just expect everything to go super fast. And when it comes to ministry, we can't handle it. We don't want to slow down. We don't want to wait for people. We just want to rush off ahead. And that is my personality. I like to do things fast. I want to be efficient. I just want to go after it. And sometimes it is really hard for me just to slow down, to stop, and just really allow the Spirit of God and others to speak into my life. Because that is just, it doesn't come naturally. So time. And the time is maybe your greatest asset, because you might realize that after a couple of months or 6 months down the road that, you know what, man, I am not ready. Or it's not even just my motives. It's just like, literally, I am not built for this. Or this is not a good opportunity for us. Or we don't have the right resources. Or all these different types of things. Allowing yourself to slow down and just really assess is so valuable. What would you say to the time issue, Matt?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking back to some of the unhealthy motivations and how time is a helpful antidote. So if you're if you're running from something because you've been hurt or you're angry, give it time, and you're gonna get more. You're gonna get perspective on that. And I shared this really. Like I've talked to pastors who they literally wanted to plant a church, but I was like, no, you need some time here. You need to process what's going on in ministry here. And after you know some months go by, they realize like, okay, no, I'm not actually called to this. I was just had an unhealthy reaction to what was going on in my current ministry. So it really is such a helpful thing that God is going to be working through as we trust him and are willing to be patient with that. The final thing here, the final healthy practice that we can have, prayer, right? This life before God, community, time. Mm-hmm. But the final one is, and this is going to get into some of the other episodes we'll be have coming up, is learning from others, right? Part of this whole process of discerning our motive is growing in our understanding of what it is that we think we want to do. That's one of the questions I always ask someone who's interested in ministry is, well, why do you want to go into ministry? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to do this? And as we learn more about what church planting is and what that might look like and what the needs might look like, that's going to be a really helpful thing that God's going to use to kind of splice out what could be unhealthy motives within our heart and kind of clarify like, oh yeah, this is what we need to be doing. This is what needs to be driving me. So that learning from other people in church planting, congregations that have planted churches, reading books on it, podcasts like this, other church planting podcasts, all those can be really helpful in this process of discerning motivation in that.
Yeah, that's really good, really good. So recognize each of these things are important, and yet when they're taken together, you know, all these aspects, God really, we believe that God uses that in a powerful way. It's like the difference between quickly frying something or smoking something. It's the difference between quickly baking or a crock pot. It's just that all these things working together, the Spirit of God is able to really dig deep into our lives and to expose some of these maybe idols we have or the pride, all these different aspects. To really to allow us to confess that sin, take it right to the cross, find forgiveness, and find new life. And again, that might mean that he's still calling you to plant a church. He might still be calling you to be a part of a church plan. It's just that you got to deal with some of these unhealthy things. And as we said at the outset, this is an ongoing issue. This is the rest of your life. You know, as a pastor, it's just I'm always struggling with this. And I'm sure I'm blind to things, and I need to be allowing the Spirit of God to really assess me and to open me up to show me the sin in my life that might be hindering something that I'm doing, right? The motivations. And so here are hearts with this. Again, this isn't a test you pass or fail. This is an ongoing process that the Spirit of God is going to continue to refine and work in your life. And as we continue on and just laying out different aspects of the exploration process, some of these other areas are going to be part of helping you assess our heart as well in this. And so again, just not a one simple issue. It's a big picture thing. Well, hopefully this has been helpful for you. Thanks for joining with us today. I'd encourage you to talk to people about what you're learning, about what you're thinking, about what you're processing. If you're a small group or individual or whatever, again, as Matt talked about, do this in community, right? And it's really helpful for you. And let us know. We'd love to hear what you're learning. We'd love to hear how the Lord is calling you or directing you in this area. And if you'd love to learn more about planting congregations within the Free Lutheran Congregation, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aflchomemissions.org. We'll see you next time.